Dolly fashion, or as it's better known in Japan, Lolita, is all about putting on baby doll dresses, frills, and bows inspired by classic Victorian literature like Anne of Green Gables. Lolita may have started on the streets of Japan, but now it has conquered the world. You can see it popping up everywhere at cosplay conventions and drag shows.
Joining us to talk about Lolita fashion is Stephen Lopez, who plays the assistant to fashion designer Cyril Lemoy on the reality TV show The Doll Life, which follows the behind-the-scenes antics of the Dolly fashion brand Doll Delight. Listen as we chat with Stephen about everything you wanted to know about Lolita fashion but were afraid to come across as a creep, how to put a good look together, and what his parents thought the first time they saw him dressed as a doll.
Plus, how to handle the creepers who show up at Dolly fashion shows.
Take our quiz, which kind of Lolita are you?
And Lady Beard, the bearded, muscled singer who dresses up like a little girl. I am Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Did you know that rainbows come from unicorns? Well, they do. They really, really do. And I've got just the t-shirt to prove it. Get yours today at feastoffun.com/store.
Hello.
Hi, Steven. It's Fausto.
And Mark from Feast of Fun. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good. What are you wearing?
That's an excellent question. What are you wearing?
I'm still wearing my pajamas, actually.
I'm wearing a blue and purple and pink Lolita classic old school costume. And I'm holding a big giant lollipop in my hand. And I convinced my boyfriend to dress up as a butler because I'm a little bit of a gothic Lolita, too.
My God. That sounds amazing, actually. I don't know where you would find that at. Where'd you guys get that?
In the valleys of my imagination. It's a fabulous store. It has unlimited supply, and the credit is always fantastic.
You don't have to put it on layaway.
Well, if you want to put it on layaway, it ain't no big deal.
I know your version of layaway, though. You lay it away.
So Stephen, I'm dying to know, actually, how did you fall into this Japanese Lolita Dolly fashion? Because you're like you were a rough and tumble kind of Latino guy, and then you just decided that, hey, I'm gonna start hanging out with girls and making little girls' dresses for adults.
Oh gosh, when you say it like that, no, it's.
Well, tell us your story. How'd it happen?
Well, my girl Stephanie, as you know in the show, she's like in everyone's business and has friends with everybody all over the place. And I'm just one of those gay friends who was always there for her.
Where'd you guys meet each other?
In high school, actually. We just met each other on like MySpace back in the day. I just said an old relic term. It's like fossilization. But yeah, those hieroglyphics on the top 8 and whatnot. She was one of them, and we've always been friends. She's all like, Steven, we need extra models. Do you want to do it? I'm like, yeah, sure. Why not? So then I go there, get all dressed up, and I had a lot of fun. And then I met Cyril, and it's like, oh my gosh, I love what you do. And I sew, and you sew. And it's like, oh my gosh, we could totally work together. And she's all like, well, we'll see how it goes. And that's basically how it just kind of went.
So were you into like the Dolly fashion before you hooked up with Cyril, or was that something that, yeah, because she was already designing that kind of stuff, you kind of fell into it?
I kind of fell into it. I've always been around Lolita fashion, mm-hmm. growing up loving anime and all that kind of great poker jazz business.
What business?
Poker jazz?
Poker jazz.
What is that?
Like Pokemon and all the rest of the business.
Well, because you're in California, right?
Yeah, I'm a California boy.
And some of our listeners have no idea that overseas, especially in Asian countries like Japan, dressing up in costumes for fun, kind of like the way club kids do here in the United States, a lot of people do it and hang out in neighborhoods like Harajuku, mm-hmm. where we get Gwen Stefani's song Harajuku Girls.
So,
right?
Can you rephrase the question a little less elaborately?
Well, I'm just trying to explain to the listeners who may not be familiar with the TV series A Doll's Life, what the premise is, right? So it's you and your friends are running a fashion company.
And we go around in conventions, putting on fashion shows, displaying Dolly fashion to all of the world and endeavors.
And the Dolly fashion, though, too, is like, because I think like for Americans, it's kind of like hard to understand that concept. It's like, because we don't necessarily have that kind of street fashion, I don't think. Whereas like in Japan, people will dress up in Dolly and they'll just hang out in a neighborhood.
Yeah.
And they'll just be around. Like here we do cosplay and stuff like that, but you have to go to like a convention, you have to go here, you have to do that kind of thing, or you're going to a nightclub. But people in Japan will just hang out in the street in their Dolly fashion.
Yeah, like it's no big deal. It's like, oh, today it's Tuesday. Let's put on a big dress. Like, let's go do that.
Wear a hoop skirt and convince your boyfriend to beat your butler.
Ooh. With a giant lollipop. Let's not forget the giant lollipop.
The giant lollipop. What's it like that to you, like the most memorable little girl Lolita style costume you've ever worn or seen somebody do?
Oh my gosh. That's a very difficult question.
Well, what's memorable? Oh, what pops into your mind?
That crazy one time when I dressed up as?
God. There are so many dresses.
Have you done so many costumes that it's sort of hard to put into words and remember one moment? Because for you, it's more of a feeling than anything?
It kind of is. It's like a giant rainbow blur of fluff and lace and wigs, heavy wigs, and shoes that hurt. They're hurt for days. Oh, God. But if I had, oh, it's so difficult. That's so unfair.
You know you're on a talk show right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, so let's talk about your dad, because your dad appears in the series and he seems to be like
he's super excited because it was the first time I guess he's really seen you do it in a fashion show. And he got very excited because the guys in the back of the audience were like turned on by you. And that made your dad very happy.
That is probably one of the strangest ways to describe it, but certainly kind of is different. Gosh. Well, first of all, I don't see my family often because they're in Las Vegas and I'm usually in California like 75% of the time. And I just kind of feel like when they get to like experience the real me, they don't know how to, it's like they don't know me as a person. I mean, like they see me growing up, but then when they see like another adult and how they behave and how their mannerisms are, it's like, oh my God, I know that person. And I'm not like, what's the word? I'm not weirded out by them and I'm not afraid of them. They're familiar. And in a way, it's like they're meeting me for really me and not seeing me pretend to be someone they want me to be.
Mm. And so for you, it's sort of coming out twice. You come out as gay and then you come out as a cosplaying drag queen who dress up in little girls' clothes.
Gosh, when you say little girls' clothes, it's like...
Well, like dolls or little dolls' clothes? What would be a good way to describe it?
Yeah, how do you describe this Dolly fashion?
I would just describe it as it is, a Dolly, just Dolly fashion.
Is there a distinction between the Dolly and the little girl words? I guess because it's not just any little girl. It's harking back to Victorian and Edwardian fashion, Little House on the Prairie, Holly Hobby. Like, it's a very specific
Gables, that kind of look.
Well, yeah, it is like that. The main difference is between Dolly fashion and typical Lolita fashion is that Dolly's more cute and kind of more edgy rather than very strict Victorian, where it's like you have to have this amount of hoop skirts and petticoats and tights and blah, 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 where there's a formula, where Dolly is more of a Harajuku kind of motif.
Well, isn't Dolly still like a kind of a form of Lolita, isn't it?
It's kind of a branch off of it. Mm-hmm. There is very like strong influences, but it's not like a strict guide, like A, mm-hmm. B, and C. It's like, here's A, and then A1 and A2. Mm-hmm. But it, yeah,
well, but it seems kind of like a lot of people who dress up as in doll clothes or doll plays kind of want to distance themselves from the term Lolita because of its connotations with the book and the movie.
Right. And for the listeners out there that don't understand the connotations with the Lolita, Lolita is, you know, it's about a girl. It's about like men having this attraction, like the Lolita complex is men having an attraction to like adolescent girls. And so when you have these, you know, adult women or adult men dressing up as like dollies, people call it like Lolita because they feel as though there's like a very sexual aspect to it. It's like they're trying to become young. So they become like attractive to, you know, men.
But also, I think a lot of Asian countries pick up on imagery and words of Western culture, mm-hmm. not necessarily fully grasping their darker connotations. Right. And in Thailand, Ronald McDonald's with Hitler mustaches.
Oh, Jesus.
Just out there, you know, because to them, they're like, oh, Hitler's a Western thing and Ronald McDonald's mm-hmm. a Western thing. Let's combine it. And not realizing this is really like unnerving and unsettling to Americans, not realizing that the history of these two images juxtaposed together. Mm. And so for the series and for a lot of doll playing cosplayers, there seems to be, at least in the United States, an intentional attempt to distance yourself from the term Lolita.
Well, yeah, but we're not like doing this for any kind of, I would want to say, we're not doing this to attract older men to come and like go and say hi to us. It's like we're just doing it because we love the fashion.
Well, then why are you on this podcast?
No, but whoa! There's a main difference.
It's meant to be playful, though, yeah. Right? You're doing this because it's fun, and there is a tension in one of the episodes. There, I think it's Cyril confronts a photographer.
Yeah, she called her a creeper. Is that like kind of like because we haven't seen much of the show? But is that like a common kind of thing? Is you guys have guys show up at these at your fashion shows and take pictures? Because she said, "Oh my God, this guy's back. I have to get rid of him." And he's just like, all I'm doing is taking photos. And she's just like, yeah, but you're creeping us out. You have to go. Is that like a common kind of thing? Is that, will we see a lot of that in the series?
Oh my God. It is so common. No matter any convention you go to, mm-hmm. well, maybe, I don't know about all of them that it's allowed, but in most conventions that I've been to, there's always that one guy, the photographer, that's getting a little too close or putting the camera a little too low to the ground, tilting up. It's like, okay, no, back up. Mm-mm. Take two steps back and figure me out before you come that close. Mm. I'm not dealing with this because there are some guys who don't know, you know, when to stop and they just keep on pushing the boundaries. It's like, no. No. Okay, go away. Stay away. And they keep coming back and it's like, stay away. I did not give consent. No means no. Back off. But for us, it's kind of like, I don't want to put this mean face on. I don't want to have to throw down my wig and get all kinds of rough and tough business with these people. It's like, I'd just rather just walk away from it. No confrontation.
Well, part of it is that you're dressed as a doll. You're living La Vida Lola, Lolita, or Dolly,
am I
right?
Giving you the doll realness? Please tell me I am, because it's a lot of work to get this Neanderthal into like that kind of look. Let's be serious.
You look fantastic, yeah. And part of it is, you know, like in horror films, those little Victorian dolls are usually possessed by demons.
Oh, they're creepy as fuck.
Yeah, they're you know, and I think it stems from the fact that some point in time they discovered the ability to make the dolls' eyes open when you pick them up. Mm-hmm. And I don't know for you, but for me as a kid, like playing with those little dolls, it was always like I was entranced and fascinated by their eyes. Mm. And you're like, how is this mechanism working? And so as a kid, you start imagining maybe the doll is alive. And when I'm
the
not
doll
looking,
is alive and it's thirsty for America's blood.
Right. And so in a lot of the cosplay that you guys are doing is sort of playing on that complex relationship and culture that we have with Victorian Edwardian dolls, with Holly Hobby, with Little House on the Prairie, with Anne of Green Gables. Is it's supposed to be this pure innocence, but at the same time, there is this unnerving aspect to it as well.
Well, let me put it this way. If you saw a doll, like a dolly fashion person who was like a cute girl, and it's like, oh my gosh, she is so pretty. She walks up to you, and the first things out of her mouth were, hey, what's up? I'm Steve. It's like, wouldn't you be a little freaked out? And it's like, whoa.
But I've seen some cisgendered girls dress up in doll play and wearing fangs. So they're like, they look all innocent and sweet. I think we saw that a little bit in Dragula, the series. The web series. Yeah. One of the girls got eliminated early on, but she was really into doll play. Mm-hmm. And Vander Von Odd is another drag queen who loves doll play as well. And they always like have a little bit of blood dripping from the corner of their mouth. And you're like, what have you been eating, little girl?
That takes me back to Sharon Needles and her first like runaway look, just biting that that blood pill and it coming down, all kinds of fierce, winning that challenge.
Oh yeah, that was the post-apocalyptic challenge where they all had a dumpster dive for costumes.
Couture. And of course,
you know, and part of it is like when I saw that on RuPaul's Drag Race, we're all like, that was meant to make it easy for Sharon to win.
Oh yeah, and especially with you know that look, and then of Elvira being the judge for sure. But that's when America fell in love with Sharon Needles
and her dripping bloody ways.
Gosh.
And so for you in the series, you're sort of like the breakout drag queen of a doll's life.
I'm living the dream.
And so the series is on Mitzelplick.com. Mix TV. It's the only English language multicultural Asian American entertainment network for people of all kinds and from the fourth dimension in the United States. I just added that part. Yeah. Why do they call it MYX? Do you know MYX TV? Is it because it's in the mix, man?
I believe it is an acronym I used to know it too because I was so inquisitive when I heard about it too. But now for dear life of me, I'm drawing a blank.
Well, just say it's Mitzelplex's
Mitzelplex is one of Superman's enemies.
He was a trickster from the fourth dimension. Yeah. And the only way you could get him to return back to his dimension and get rid of him was to trick him into saying his name backwards. Klitzel's Slim.
Really? Is that how it worked?
That's how it was. And it was the stupidest plot to Superman. It was always like, and he's like, oh, Superman, you tricked me. No. You know, it's like, what?
And then he comes back again. And later on episodes, like, I'm back.
And he's always played by sounds like a very gay sounding guy.
It's a gay, you know, Rumpelstiltskin. Yeah. It's a little guy with a bowler hat. And, you know, if you go to comic book conventions and it's somebody's, especially little people like to dress up as Mitzelplank. Mix TV.
So tell us a little bit about the series, because we've only gotten to watch a few episodes, and it's you and you're the designer and the models going around and throwing fashion shows, and then things, you know, the music doesn't play, things go wrong, the audience is like, why are we here? What's happening? I don't know what's happening. What are some of the highlights of the series for you?
Some of the highlights of the series for me is finally trying to get like a full fashion show to go off without a hitch. I don't want a shit show. I don't want a crap show. I just want like a fashion show. But for some reason, something always goes wrong. God forbid, you know, it's like the music or the runway falls apart or a man on flames runs across the stage. But we're just trying to do our best to display a dolly fashion to the world one convention at a time, if that or festival. It's just, we're just trying to have fun, do what we love, and we love what we do, which is this fashion. And sometimes it does get a little crazy with drama coming from inside of the group to outside. Mostly Paula. I won't say who, but I just did. Okay, whatever. So we'll just call her.
Who's Paula?
Which one's Paula?
She's the manager of Cyril.
Okay.
She has glasses, kind of like a bob haircut, says like a lot and dude, and kind of speaks like a man. Like, she has the dialogue that would normally come out of my body. Mm-hmm. If I were straight, but I'm not, so it's weird.
Now you're
hold on a second. I want to. Are you dating anybody, or like, is your boyfriends or the guys you date also into cosplay as well?
Most of the guys I do date on a professional level, they don't understand it, and I've had some guys even say, "No, you have to quit that. Go get a normal 9-to-5 job, and we'll be cool." And I tried that.
And you're like, I'm on a reality TV show. I'm a star, okay?
Yeah, I have to put on this little girl's dress for work. Okay? If you have a problem with it, you can go out the door because these pink socks are staying on my feet.
Gosh. And when I pull out like the mermaid tail, all questions break out loose. Like, what's really happening here?
Well, the thing about it is, and for all drag queens who are listening to this, in order to have a healthy relationship with your lovers, mm-hmm. your boyfriends, you got to get them involved in your drag, like I did with Mark.
I did try that. I did.
What mm-hmm. happened?
Well, they agreed to it. We'll see how it goes. And so I was up at a club doing my thing, put on my Little Mermaid outfit, full fin, Disneyland replica, the whole nine yards, got my rock that wheels out on the stage. All right. And I said to him, you're going to pick me up. You're going to plant me on that rock, and then towards the end of the song, you're going to pick me up, exit stage left. He's like, cool. We're cool with this. So he puts me on the rock. I do my little thing, and then the song ends. Then he comes, gets me. He's like, I was so nervous. I didn't know if I could do that ever again. It's like, I'm like thinking to myself, you just picked me up. That was it. I didn't ask you to put on a wig and a dress and go and like tell your secrets to the world. It's like, calm down, okay? It's just drag. It's not that big of a deal. And for some, it's like, I can't believe I just did that. Like, I committed sin. It's like, no. It's, no. Seriously, like, no. This is not about you. I was on that stage, like, doing like kicks and flips and cartwheels, somersaults, swiffering the floor. Like, come on. Wait.
You pull out a mop in the middle of your act and start cleaning the stage? How thoughtful.
Cinderella's got to go from rags to riches sometime.
Oh, I like that. So you do like performances where you sort of like do the reenact Cinderella as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, I always, whenever I'm in character, I want to stay true to the character without defacing or demoralizing the aspect of the character itself. So it's not like I'm Ariel, and I say, look at my gadgets and gizmos, and whoop, you know, there comes a battery-operated buddy. It's like, no. It's going to be a fork.
You're looking down on Ben De La Creme's performance as Ariel, where she pulls out a dildo out of her bag doing a...
Of her who's its and what's its
gadgets and gizmos and gizmos and stuff.
All that stuff. Now, you're up on stage and doing these fashion shows. You're dressed as a girl. You're in drag. For the most part, you pretty much pass as a girl. I mean, do you ever get, like, audience members coming up to you afterwards and they're kind of surprised or maybe even a little titillated to find out you're other sexed?
Yeah, and it happens more frequently than not where they're, like, thinking, okay, either that girl has really masculine features, or that's a guy in a dress. And I'm very timid of talking, because I don't want to scare him off, and then it gets all kinds of weird. But I'll just mind my own business, not talk.
Now, with the Dolly fashion, since you're just, it's kind of like a full bottom dress, do you have to tuck?
Oh, you're not doing drag if you're not tucking or wearing nails or a wig. But I don't know. Maybe. Yes. Sometimes. I don't know. I'm not going to be acting like Fifi O'Hara, who wasn't tucked for her photos.
Oh, Ben De La Creme, Fifi O'Hara. You have more drag enemies than Trump has political enemies.
I do not have enemies. I don't. I wouldn't. But if I'm allowed to not like certain people.
Are you really mad at Ben de la Creme for pulling out a dildo dressed up as Ariel from
Mermaid? I laugh at that. Okay. That is her business. I support it. Do what you do. I get a good laugh out of it. But for me, because I used to work at the resort, I have a certain kind of mentality where it's like I respect what Mr. Walt Disney did, and it's like I respect it. I won't do it. But when I see other people doing it, I will laugh. I will tip. I will give like a standing ovation. Like I support the arts.
Also, you used to work at Disneyland in California.
I used to, yeah.
What was your job?
Costuming.
They used to in the past. I don't know if they still do this anymore. Have drag queens play some of the villains.
Yeah, some of the characters. Cruella De Vil. I've seen as
the Queen of Hearts.
Yeah. Is that an A?
Wait, well, let me get my pitch pop right
here. Wait a second.
Back in the day.
Yeah, that's for God.
Is that what I sound like?
Yeah. That was exact same note.
Yeah. It was an A, right?
Yeah, it's a B flat.
Ah.
So when people go, hi, hi.
Now at your fashion shows, do you have many guys that are like just like dudes, like middle-aged guys coming in and wanting to dress up like little girls? Because on the series so far, I've only seen like you and the girls you work with who are all, you know, young women all dressed up in this Dolly fashion. Do you ever see like older people come in, and what's that like?
It's like, thank you for replying. We will keep you in mind. We're not exactly crossing your name off the list completely. We're probably going to keep it and do a background check. And probably submit it to the police. I'm kidding. No.
Well, are you familiar with Lady Beard?
I am.
Yeah, we got a chance to interview him. For the listeners out there that don't know, we got a chance to interview him this past year at the Austin International Drag Festival. And for the listeners, he's a stunt worker from Australia who moved to Hong Kong. And then he got involved with a photographer who took pictures of him dressed in Dolly fashion, then went on to Japan, and now in Japan has got a career doing Japanese covers of heavy metal songs while wearing Dolly fashion, but still has a complete beard.
Yeah, and he's got like a nice ass.
Yeah, he's got like some guns, like
yeah, nice biceps. Yeah. We went to the gym with him.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's a ripped.
He
dude.
Sat on my lap too. I think he's actually heterosexual because he kept talking about, I'm so glad I'm accepted by your community.
Yeah.
And I was like, you mean you're not LGBT?
I guess so.
A little bit of the T, honey. Just like everybody's a little bit gay. Like, everybody is a little bit cross dressing and a little bit trans, a little bit, you know, gender nonconforming.
It's like when Bruce said, we are all born naked, the rest is just drag.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And some of us were born really naked.
Like when you say really naked, how naked do you mean?
Well, they just, some of us need more accessories. Mm. You know, some people are just happy with a little bit of lipstick and they go out the door. Mm-hmm. And other people got to turn every time. I have family and friends that wake up in the morning and they got to put on tons of makeup just to be seen by another human being. Mm-hmm.
Well, on the Doll Life, when I do dress up as a girl, sometimes I go a bit overboard, and then Cyril's like, okay, we need to tune it down just a bit. Like, that red is a little too harsh.
And you're like, I'm going to wear what I'm going to wear. You're not going to let me.
I'm the one on the runway.
I'm the little girl.
It's kind of, it's not like that. I'm more professional. It's like, okay, I can totally see it. It's like watching Elvira put on something that, I don't know, something pink and foo-foo-y. It's like, okay, this probably isn't what Elvira would wear. Can we kind of like get something a little more cohesive? It's like, let's just try to make it more unique in a look where it's complete and not like we mix mashed everything into one.
Well, what kind of I'm trying to take the quiz. What kind of Lolita are you?
Okay.
Is this a BuzzFeed quiz?
It's not a BuzzFeed. Well, there's tons of websites, okay. You know. I'm sure there's one on BuzzFeed. And I'm not sure exactly what type of Lolita am I, but Is there a
booger category?
Shut up. But I want to sort of walk through the categories and maybe because you're a doll playing dress up expert and have you sort of like give us more specific examples of this stuff. So the first category and one of the more popular ones is gothic Lolitas, which is not just gloomy, dark clothing or lovers of the store Hot Topic, but it's also for the aristocrats who love looking down on the world. And Lolitas, and that's where the like a lot of these girls dress up in sort of Victorian Edwardian girls' clothes, but also trick or convince their boyfriend or male best friend to dress up as a butler. And so
everybody needs a henchman.
Yeah. And so they stand out on the street corner and they're like, you know, Jeeves, bring me a lollipop. I want my sweets.
And make it extra large.
Extra large. What other aspects of gothic Lolita can we look out for? Because it's not just like wearing black.
To look out for?
Yeah.
Well, you got to look out for Batman, because what you just described was, that was totally it. You got a butler, you got all black, demanding stuff on the corner.
I didn't think about that. So like if you're inspired by Batman and the Bruce Wayne thing, but you want to dress up as a little girl, gothic Lolita is the style for you, right?
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. What about a sweet Lolita? Light and airy, innocent, full of pastels, mink, lilac, pink. Lots of references to Alice in Wonderland.
Unicorns, rainbows, the whole like enchilada of what's it called? Not rose art. What was it? Was that one
sticker art from the 1980s, Lisa Frank?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Very vibrant. A little harsh to look at with a violet light, but for some people, it's much like Audra from the show. She's like all into like frogs and I don't know what that is about. I don't know that.
So it's little girls who like to collect like stuffed animals, and it's a lot of reference to like you know, being in high school and putting stickers on your notebooks and stuff like that.
Well, I don't know about stickers, but when I was in high school, I had very hot men on my binder. Let's be serious.
All right.
This was back in the day before Andrew Christian was like fully around. And what I purchased from my grocery store which was very friendly to the gay community. They had DNA. And they had other fun stuff. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. I'll pick this up.
They had the DNA magazine, the Australian men's underwear magazine.
They did. I don't know why.
Where did you grow? You grew up in Vegas?
I grew up in a very conservative town in California.
Okay. And so that town, maybe the owner of the corner store was gay and may have carried some of the stuff for the clientele. Well, was it a conservative town? Are you talking about West Hollywood?
No, I'm talking as in Marietta. Okay. Marietta, Temecula. It's like a Mormon church every other block corner. And everyone there was blonde hair, blue-eyed, very much referencing what Adolf would love to have in his, like, Mein Kampf.
Oh, my goodness. So it was a very conservative fascist town.
I wouldn't say fashion. Well, maybe.
Well, you're saying Hitler would have approved.
Well, he would approve of the image.
Okay.
Like, but they were supportive of Prop 8, and me being like part of LGBT community and being on PFLAG and other fun stuff at the time when Prop 8 was around, me and my friend Kendra would just go around and we would literally get every sign that was like, no, I'm Prop 8. Or what was it? Oh, they made it so confusing, and now it's confusing to think about.
I think it was yes on Prop 8, right? The evil people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like yellow and blue.
Let's talk about classic Lolita. So it's kind of like classic Coke. Everybody thinks it's just regular Lolita, but it's about going strictly to doll styles roots in Victorian French and Edwardian clothing, and has a very narrow way of looking at the tailoring of the clothes, right?
Classic Lolita is wearing all kinds of lace, nice patterns, many ruffles, curly wigs, bonnets. Oh, gosh.
Sleeves. So it's like Shirley Temple kind of stuff. Good ship lollipop kind of.
With like the Bo Peep business.
Yeah,
and
little
all
Bo
that.
Peep. Yeah, okay. And then the old school.
Old school Lolita?
Is that like a rapper? I'm just looking at here at a list and of Lolita fashion styles, and it's kind of not very clear what old school like, Lolita is more focused on lace fabric and ruffle details than print details. So I guess classic is all about the print of the clothing, whereas the old school focuses maybe on the lace fabric and the accoutrements of it. And it's funny that like someone has thought so much into analyzing doll style clothing and fashion.
I agree on what you're saying. Yes, I do agree that someone probably is very meticulous into describing everything that classifies everything into a certain name. But for the doll life, we're like all about just having fun and having a cutesy look where it's not really classifying what kind of dolly fashion A, B, and C is. It's like, it's just dolly fashion. It's not really kind of like a guide, like you have to just follow these strict rules or you can't play with us. It's like, you look good. Let's go do a fashion show.
In Japan, there's Kuro or Shiro Lolita that is detox the runway. It's supposed to meant to be black and white. Mm-hmm. Like you're in a black and white film. There's Princess Lolita or Hime Lolita, where you dress up as a little princess with a tiara. And then there's Oji Lolita for the boys who want to be little, pretty little Victorian era boys. And then there's casual or everyday Lolita when you sort of the business school of Lolita where you're toned down a little bit. It's more practical so you can play sports or ride a horse.
That sounds cool, but you had me at princess. I want the diamonds. I want real. I don't want fake. I want a tiara. I want it 9 feet tall. And I want this big skirt. Like I just run like for like Miss Congeniality or president. I don't know. Yes. I'm all about that tiara. Give me it.
All about the diamonds, Mr. Winston. That's
yes,
an old school thing. So are you familiar with, of course, the Marilyn Monroe from the movie Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, her iconic number, Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend?
That's so funny you say that because my friend Kenneth Rex and I, we just watched a documentary on Marilyn and who she really was. And she was always displayed as being this blonde who was stupid and ditzy when she was really a smart, intellectual woman who had a lot of thoughts and put a mindset onto every moment of her body. For me, I respect Marilyn Monroe as a person of an, like, more of an artist rather than being a dumb blonde who just wanted, pretty things and didn't care about anyone else but herself. That's not what I think of her.
Well, she was kind of like a drag queen because, her hair, she changed her hair color and a lot of that stuff, you know, her appearance to sort of meet this expectation of people wanted about this blonde bombshell.
She was pretty before, though. That's the weird thing about it. She had a nose job.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know, she was lovely before, but, you know, she wanted it and it worked for her.
Do you guys think that she was murdered by the Kennedys? That's the conspiracy.
I think she had substance abuse problems, and I think that her heart just gave out. You know, she was taking pills and alcohol, and it's just what happens. You know, you can't drink and do drugs.
Carrie Fisher, you know, George Michael.
It happens.
A lot of these celebrities, the thing about it is like when you become an entertainer, you're probably doing it because you're lonely or you don't know what else to do.
Or you have a passion for entertaining.
And you have a passion for entertaining, not realizing that a lot of it, it's still a job and you're still working really hard. And some people actually succeed at it. And we've here on the show doing this podcast for 13 years, we've seen some of our guests sort of like make it. And then they realize, oh, my God, I have to dress up in drag or, you know, be on 7 days a week sometimes. Mm. And that's mentally and physically exhausting. So some of them turn to drugs and alcohol to sort of be on in front of their audience. And, you know, I would imagine that over the course of a lifetime, that can be something really, really hard on your body. And so that's why it sort of appears that celebrities die very suddenly in their later years is because a lot of entertainers are abusing or pushing their bodies to the breaking point.
And sometimes it takes years for that stuff to catch up with you. But, you know, it's often it will catch up with you.
Well, on the Doll Life, we're all about having our own private life. But we don't like it when people show up to work when they're hungover, drunk at the time, or high. Like, we're not a big fan of that. So we're like, how about you just sit in a corner? We're going to keep an eye on you. We're going to check you out. We're going to make sure you don't, you know, throw up and like choke on it or your tongue or whatever. But it's like, we don't really want you showing up to work all kinds of nasty. It's
that was kind of the first time you got into drag on the series and walked the runways, because somebody said that they were, quote, sick, but you were all like, girl, she's hungover.
Totally. Yeah. Oh, she's like, I can't come into work. I'm sick. I have food poisoning. I'm like, if you were food poisoning, your face would be real pale and you'd be throwing up and just really sick. It sounded more like she had a headache and or maybe she was like woozy. It's like, no. I don't buy this for a minute because I'm old enough to know the difference between, you know, being hungover and being sick. It's like, okay.
Is there a Lolita style where you dress up as like a heroin addict or somebody who's in a hospital gown?
I don't really know. I don't know.
Is that the wabi-sabi version or something?
Maybe.
Isn't that the one?
Oh, yeah. The wabi-sabi is that has a broken arm.
Yeah. The bad-natured.
Yeah. So it's
find beauty in imperfection.
Yes.
Is what they say.
The wabi-sabi dress up as little dolls with a broken arm, a cast, or a big giant mole.
So I was also reading up on it, too, that they say that Alice in Wonderland is kind of like the patron saint of a lot of the dolly fashion. Because of the way she looks, but also, too, because of her bad nature. Because she's a girl that gets into a lot of troubles. Because there's something about being a doll that makes people get very naughty.
And it looks like you're going to have a spanking. No, please, sir, I don't. You promised me sweets. No, you're going to have a spanking. Now bend over, and Mistress Faustina is going to paddle you.
Well, for one, I would be out of dolly fashion, and I would be a boy, and I'd probably be saying that to a gentleman, not a lady.
All right. So you're on season two now of Doll's Life, and will there be what it's airing at? What, every Wednesday, I think, on the on MYX TV.
Mitzelplick TV. No, Mix.
Mix. Yes. Mix TV. Uh-huh. Mix TV. It's on Mix TV on Tuesdays on your cable network, and it airs online on Wednesdays, so the whole world can see it, and whatever country or part of a resident they are from, so they can just watch online every Wednesday. But we're on season two. It's fabulous. We're exploring. We're actually going more in depth into each other's lives rather than, okay, let's go do a fashion show. It's like, let's go find out more about Cyril. Let's go find out more about Stephanie and Ashford and Audra. And there's more of me, too.
Will we see you get a love interest this season? Any flirtations?
Well, maybe not me per se, but there's going to be something. I won't say who. Mm-hmm. But it probably begins with an A. But yeah, there's definitely going to be a love interest.
What do you mean that it begins with an A?
Anybody is what he's talking about.
You mean to say like somebody's going to mistake you for being a girl or something and want to date you?
Wouldn't that be the day? I wouldn't know. From personal experiences, I kind of want the person that I'm interested with, like, to know that I am a boy and I like being a boy. But
that's called what is that? OG Lolita.
What's that?
Boy style Lolita.
Oh,
yeah. You can never escape the Lolita. Mm-hmm. Anything you do,
well, you can age out of it.
No, you could be old lady Lolita.
Oh, Marie Antoinette.
Or old Lita. I don't
know, I'm just old Lita.
Olita.
Oh, Lita, come on. I got to show you this fashion little dread I got her.
Steven, you're certainly the breakout star of A Doll's Life, and we love your personality. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Aww. I appreciate that. I actually like talking to you guys. You guys are super fun.
It's a feast of fun, wouldn't you say?
Yes, it is. It is totally a feast of fun.
So will we be seeing your alter ego, Robin Hearts, on any TV shows anytime soon?
I would love to go and audition. I'm just a little busy with, trying to get my own stuff off of the ground. Oh my gosh, I'd love to. I want to. People will say I should, but I don't know if I should or not.
I think you would do very well. Absolutely. You and Vander Von Odd would be good in a top three on Drag Race.
Always audition. Audition, audition, audition for everything.
I could see you on a Survivor. I bet if they put you on like Survivor, you know, the
Dolly Survivor. Dolly Life Survivor.
You would be like, suddenly we'd be like, wow, that Steven Lopez like actually, you know, was a ruthless competitor. Who knew?
I am not ruthless. I am not Miss Fifi. I am not. I don't play dirty.
She's not an evil queen. She just got a bad edit. Available at feastoffun.com/store as a t-shirt or as a tote bag.
I'm going to get one.
It's really good. We made these t-shirts because we had so many of the drag queens going like, I'm not an evil queen. I just got a bad edit.
And we're like, okay, here's a t-shirt for you.
And I asked Fifi if she would wear it or say, she has not responded to my calls anymore.
That's rude.
I know. Maybe she is an evil queen.
That's so fucking rude. Uh-huh.
It wasn't a bad edit she got. It was a documentary. It was a hard-hitting journalism.
We wanted the insider scoop on that one.
Insider. Yeah, it's sort of interesting to see Donald Trump sort of be like Fifi O'Hara and be like, the media's out after gonna get me. You know,
we're gonna see how this election runs through.
Election's over. That people he's are president now. He's in what? The office. He's getting Betsy DeVos, who can't read or write or spell words, as Secretary of Education.
I'm scared.
Yeah, she's semi-literate. she married the Amway, those pyramid scheme guys.
You know? Is she married into it?
Yeah, she hasn't done shit. She's just a dumb blonde. And she's getting into the Secretary of Education. Donald Trump likes to surround himself with stupid people because it makes him feel smart.
Mm. And they know how to kiss his ass. And that's really what makes him feel important.
So be wary, honey. It's like you're going to need that Lolita costume to survive the apocalypse, mm-hmm. which is another style of a Lolita. Apocalypse Lolita. Or Apocalypse Lolita.
A Lolita can do anything. Any kind of style, I guess, right?
Yeah, my favorite is berry flavored Lolita, strawberry shortcake. You know,
dumpster Lolita.
You're like the stickers where you scratch and sniff.
Yes, if you scratch really hard, you get a very strong scent.
Oh gosh! Oh my god! Oh my! I don't know anything about going to another. Okay, next subject.
Well, on that note, we're gonna end this podcast. But remember.
Steven.
Remember Steven? What was it? A chink pink cherry? What was your drag name? I'm sorry.
Robin Hearts.
Remember Robin Hearts, that the podcast ends now, but your journey as a beautiful little doll is just coming to life.
Mm-hmm.
So may your cosplay be fruitful and fun and berrylicious.
My gosh, words to live by. Thank you very much for having me on your podcast on Feast of Fun. I appreciate it. And everybody who's listening, please go and watch and support The Doll Life on Mixed TV.
Take care, sweetie.
Thank you, Steven.
I appreciate you guys. Take care.
Happy cosplaying.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Cosplaying queen Robin Hearts, better known as Steven Lopez on the show The Doll Life, lives in Los Angeles, California.
You can watch The Doll Life on mixtv.com. That's M-Y-X-TV Amazon.com.
The mix.
The mix. Yeah. I think the first time I ever saw somebody that kind of like do that dolly fashion is they did a local, I think it was Corn Productions here in Chicago, did a production of The Bad Seed.
Yeah.
And they had, you know, the Bad Seed, who's usually this little girl who is evil and is like killing people, burning them, drowning them, all sorts of stuff, was played by this guy was probably 260 pounds, a big
Keep
hairy
going
dude,
up.
300 pounds.
He
dude.
Was a big guy.
He was a big guy, a big hairy beast, and he was wearing this little dolly outfit with like the dolly hair, and it was just like, it was so wonderful because it's so incongruent to what you imagine it to be.
It was she-larious.
It certainly was.
And when my niece, Victoria, so when she was a little girl, she loved wearing little dresses. And I thought that was hilarious. Mm-hmm. As a drunk drag queen, I was inspired by my niece. And so I started getting like little girl socks with the frills around it and started like wearing little girl Victorian clothing and stuff
when we first started dating, I think I remember seeing some frilly little socks around the house, and I think I remember throwing them out when you weren't looking.
You were like, what the fuck is this shit? But get this out of here.
You know, I used to love as a little kid wearing my sister's first communion outfit, because basically like girls' first communion outfits, they basically like look like little brides, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you could pretend you were a bride. I remember father's like, why are you wearing that? And I'm like, because it's fun.
I'm getting married to a boy. Ooh, it makes my legs look pretty. My niece loved wearing little girl dresses to the point that she refused to take them off.
Oh.
And my mother, I'm sorry, her mother, my sister, just decided one time to be like, okay, you don't want to take the dress off? Fine. And so she wore that dress for 3 days, and that dress was disgusting.
Oh, wow.
And she was
Did
just
they
like,
burn it afterwards?
They peeled it off of her with her screaming bloody murder, like, I want to wear my dress! Ah! She just got obsessed with that dress.
Mm.
And they basically had to throw it away because it was all, it was ruined, you know?
Aww.
So to all the little girls out there, God bless you.
Yeah. And get your fashion needs fulfilled at our store, feastoffun.com/store.
Yes. Thank you guys so much for listening. And thanks to Steven. That was actually really fun.
I didn't quite know what to expect.
Yeah. He was like, he was kind of a drag version of Stefan from Saturday Night Live, which I always appreciate.
I want to remind folks, too, we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, consider signing up today at feastoffun.com/plus, because your contribution to this show is what makes this show happen. We really, really can't do it without you. I want to thank everybody that's already a Plus subscriber, and anybody who'd like to donate, you can make a donation at feastoffun.com/donate, because that really does help go make this show happen. We want to ensure that this podcast remains viable and that we can continue to do it. And if we don't have the funds to continue to do it, we can't do it.
That's right, honey. It's this listener-supported programming. You love a lot of drag queens. Chances are that we've done in-depth interviews with some of your favorite drag queens, certainly Sharon Needles and RuPaul, Fifi O'Hara, Bibi Zahara Benet. All of them are on our archives at feastoffun.com. Accessible through becoming a Plus member, feastoffun.com/plus. Check it out and listen to what it was like for RuPaul when he first started RuPaul's Drag Race. Mm-hmm. What was going on through his mind at the time? You can peek into the mind of extraordinary entertainers at the beginning of their careers. Mm-hmm. Only available at feastoffun.com/plus. We thank you guys so much for listening today. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Bye.